I'm a news junkie. Judy can tell you that. But I like to look at all of them. I like to look at all kinds of different resources to see what's going on. And especially if there's a big major news event going on somewhere, I kind of look at all the different channels and all the different things, and they all have different perspectives on the same story. But one time I was watching CNN, and they were talking about atheist chaplains. And I was wondering, I've been a chaplain, been a hospital chaplain. We have military chaplains. We got hospital chaplains. We got all kinds of chaplains. Never thought about atheist chaplains. The article in the news thing kind of interested me, because as our population in America is now moving away from religion, the desire for spirituality and connectedness still remains. So I guess if people want to be atheists, I guess they need a chaplain to help them with their atheism. I don't know. But they went on to say where religious affiliated chaplains might lean on the teachings of their faith to guide them, like Christ or even the Muslims with Muhammad and the Jewish with Moses and all that. Atheist chaplains, though, they draw their philosophies from Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and Tupac Shakur. Well, forgive my cynicism, but if I'm dying of cancer or have a serious illness, I want somebody that can give me a word from the Lord, not to tell me how to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. That's what Muhammad Ali's famous little thing was. I want to approach the God of all the universe through the agency of a Savior, the one who died for me and is now alive and interceding on my behalf, as he said, on the right hand of the Father. So the Jesus story can't be truthfully told without headlining his resurrection. It is because of the resurrection of Christ that we have faith, that we have hope. Without the resurrection, we'd only be another dead sect of people who follow a religion, for lack of a better term. He was killed. He was put up on a wooden cross. He was wrapped in a burial shroud. He was placed in a borrowed tomb and sealed with a big rock that was rolled up in front of it. And now, 3 days later, he was raised from the dead and was walking and talking and alive and was seen by many, many, many people. He said in John chapter 14, the same chapter that I read from, in verse 19, he said, because I live, you will live also. That's a hope that I want to hang on to. And I want to say about John's gospel in chapter 14 especially, it's about the resurrection. And this is, whole thing is based on that. It's not a typo or anything like that. The resurrection is the most important part of our faith of Jesus Christ, because we are also resurrected people. First, we move from death to life in a spiritual sense, and we have hope that when we leave this world, we have eternal life because of what Christ has done for us. And the proof of that was because of his resurrection. And it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcised of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. I think that's a pretty wonderful thing, that God made you alive in Christ. He made us alive in Christ spiritually. And what makes us spirituality in the way we are alive spiritually? It's joining the right church? Nope. Reading the right translation of the Bible? No, there's, I don't know how many different translations, but there's a whole bunch of translations. Singing the right song? Nope. Choosing the right denomination? Nope. It's keeping the right set of rules? No. It's none of those things. The only way that we can find spiritual life is through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the center of our story. God sent his Son, and he is the incarnation, God in the flesh, appearing. Every component of that matters. There are not many ways to God. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me, in John chapter 14, verse 6 that I read. So don't be afraid of offending somebody with an exclusive message of Jesus Christ. I don't know why sometimes we are so timid to share our faith out in the public or where we work or anyplace else. Because when it comes to sports, whether it's our children playing sports and we go and participate in the, and cheer our kids on, or Florida State football or Gator football or anything like that, we choose a side and we get, ah, no, you don't know, we're the Gators are better than, you know, that whole thing. So we can be straightforward with our faith too, because we're also sometimes divided on party lines in the political sense. But when it comes to saying that Jesus is uniquely superior and exclusively the way to God, we're afraid sometimes. And we're afraid maybe we'll offend somebody. Well, we certainly wouldn't want to be angry when we're talking about our faith with anybody. We wouldn't want to be belligerent, condemning, or even ugly. But we should be advocates. We are advocates with the Father. For Jesus is the pathway to God. And Jesus wasn't afraid of that, nor should we be afraid of that. In fact, actually, if you think about it, it's actually wonderful words, because there is a way to live forever. And we exist through Christ and Christ alone. Now, if you look at a real spiritual intent, or the resurrection, they need to pass from death to life. That's what we do. We pass from life to life. We don't pass from death to death because of the hope that we have in Christ. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light. There we need to replace despair with hope. We should at least be eager and unapologetic to share what Christ has done for us in this life. We don't need an atheist chaplain to share the story of Muhammad Ali and his journey, of Malcolm X, or even Tupac Shakur. Because when we meet our friend Jesus, something takes place in our life. Now, I can't tell you exactly what happens whenever everybody takes a stand and says, Lord, I know that you're everything that they say, I want you to be part of my life. And a change takes place with us in a spiritual sense. And it is because of the resurrection as we're on this spiritual journey, not a sprint. Now, Jesus not only prayed for the sick on more than one occasion, he raised people back to life. And the Gospel of Matthew describes Jesus as weeping at the tomb of Lazarus right before he raised him from the dead. And then there was a Jewish synagogue leader who came to Jesus weeping and telling him, Jesus, my daughter's dying, come and help. And Jesus went with the man. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, it says, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Have you ever been laughed at? In a bad sense. I mean, there's nothing wrong being laughed at whenever you're telling jokes or something like that. But if you've done some stupid things, I laugh at myself a lot because I do a lot of stupid things. But when you do something and people laugh at you, it's humiliating. But it doesn't last long, you know, that's what's cool. But people laughed at Jesus. So don't be surprised if they laugh at you for being one of his disciples and speaking up for him. In Matthew, Gospel continued on in 25, verse 25, 26. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And news of this spread throughout the region. Now, I'm sure news like that would spread like wildfire. I wish I could have been with those parents when Jesus raised that little girl from the dead. But what do you think maybe the dad had to say when that happened? Or the mom? Ooh, well, thank you, Jesus. Would you stay and have supper with us? We appreciate what you've done. No, I think they marveled. Last week we talked about Jesus, our marvelous friend. I think they marveled. And they was wanting to be in fellowship with the Savior, God manifested in the flesh. Now, I have done some memorial services for children and young people, and it's not an easy thing to do. And the sorrow, and standing beside the casket, and parents in the meeting when you're trying to give them some hope. And I remember that sorrow that I had. We had a daughter by the name of Kathy, 8 days old. She experienced crib death, or sudden interim syndrome, or whatever they call that. And it was just something just out of the clear blue. And why it happened, we don't know. They still don't quite understand some of those things that took place. So I understood the heartache of what parents are going through when you do memorial services or funerals for children, especially babies. I mean, it's hard. You know, I would wish that Jesus would have been there to raise her from the dead. Now, I don't know. I never second-guessed it, but I know where she is, and that's the hope that I have, and the hope that I'll see her again someday. But then I'm thinking, well, what about if you were in one of those services and you got the casket here and the child is laying in the casket and the congregation is looking on and you're telling the old story of Jesus and his love and the girl sits up. It would get your attention, wouldn't it? I would think so. And those who have been spiritually resurrected in this life will physically be resurrected in the next. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Now that's a friend that I want to have, Jesus. And I hope and pray you have him as your friend, because he is with you everywhere. When he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," you think, well, wait a minute, he's not here in a physical sense like he was here. No, but he said, "I'll send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever until I come for you and you go home to be with me." That's our friend. That's the kind of friend that Jesus is. And his words are more than systematic theology. They talk about systematic theology as the people that do theology will come up with a system on how you can do this and how you can do your spiritual growth and all that kind of stuff. Well, the creator of all the world, Jesus Christ, will together help you navigate through our journey of through time and through all the challenges that we experience and go through. And he's left us with an instruction manual and a spirit that will give us the peace that passes all understanding. It's just all you got to do, because he won't force himself upon you. He wants to be your friend, but he won't force himself upon you. But if you develop that relationship, he'll be the best friend that you ever had in all your born days. And if you had some friends in this old world, sometimes even a good friend will disappoint you, but Jesus will never disappoint you. So we live in a season where there's tremendous turmoil, there's a lot of confusion in the world, there's evil, there's violence, there's destruction, and there's many challenges. All these melees, I think, will intensify before they get better. So take heart. But I would encourage all of us to focus our attention on that, our risen friend Jesus. Think about your own spiritual resurrection from death to life, and your resurrection to come when he returns. So don't ignore your relationship with Christ. It'll be the best relationship you ever had. And the promises that are filled in this book will all come to pass. So don't ignore him.